We'll begin, I guess, in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, 45 seconds.
And so if I may ask Sari and also Ms. Kitajima to come up here, that would be great. Good morning. Thank you all for coming here today. My name is Kazu Koyama. I am a junior here at the George Washington University. And I'd like to thank both the Knowledge Investment Programs and the Japanese American Student Union of DC for giving me this opportunity to serve as your moderator for today. So if I may go over the agenda briefly for today, for this morning, we will have the introductions of the two student organizations, Knowledge Investment Programs from Japan and the Japanese American Student Union of DC. Then we will have the presentations of fascinating research topics by the Knowledge Investment Programs. And you will also have the opportunity to ask questions to these students. And after that, we will have the guest speaker panel. And today we have, we are honored to invite Dr. Mochizuki, Dr. Lincoln, and Ms. Chanlet Avery from the Congressional Research Service. And they will be talking about the different facets and different influences that the earthquake had on Japan. And finally, this may be the portion that we may be all looking forward to the most, is the discussion groups. So we have assigned all of you to a discussion group, 1 through 4. And at that point, we will be splitting off and discussing and exchanging views on March 11th and what it meant for all of us. And finally, we will come back together again and share what we all talked about in our respective discussion groups. And finally, around 12:30, we'll chow down for lunch. So if I may invite or ask Sari Ishihara, the Japanese American Student Union of DC, president of this year, to come up here to give a brief introduction.
Good morning. My name is Sari Ishihara, and I'm the president of Japanese American Student Union of Washington, D.C., also known as JASU. JASU is an intercollegiate organization comprised of 6 universities in the Washington area: American University, George Mason University, George Washington University, Georgetown University, Johns Hopkins University, and University of Maryland, College Park. Open to all students that have an interest in Japan, the makeup of JASU is extremely diverse, including students from various national and ethnic backgrounds. The earthquake on March 11th and the consequent tsunami and nuclear fallout tore the hearts of students in Washington, D.C. Although we were distances away from Tohoku, we still wanted to contribute to the relief efforts in whatever way possible. With the help from many individuals and organizations, JASU hosted 2 major charity events. Through these events, we raised donations, sent letters to the victims, and signed Japanese flags that were sent to the self-defense forces. The months after the earthquake was an incredible time when the Washington, D.C. community came together to show its support and love for Japan. Today, we're extremely excited to co-host March 11th through the eyes of students from Japan. We would like to welcome to Washington, D.C., the Knowledge Investment Programs, a delegation of university students from Tohoku and Tokyo. We are privileged today to have the opportunity to hear their personal views and experiences on March 11th, as well as discussing with them about the future of Japan. Thank you again for coming today. Thank you.
Next, I'd like to invite up the Knowledge Investment Programs, Ms. Tamagawa and Ms. Kitajima.
Thank you, and good morning. I'm Eri Tamagawa, a senior student of University of Tokyo Faculty of Law. I'm the student leader of this project. And we 10 students from Tohoku, 2 are from Fukushima, 8 are from Sendai, where the big tsunami came, and 18 are from Tokyo. And we are here to tell our story on March 11, what happened in Japan, and what is happening in Japan now, and what we are expecting to have in Japan in the future, and share your idea with us, and discuss with us. Please talk to us. We are expecting a lot here. Thank you. And Nanako will explain what is KIPP. So Nanako, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nanako Kitajima from Sapporo University. So now let me introduce what is KIPP and who we are. So KIPP stands for Knowledge Investment Programs. It was founded in 2008. KIPP members include young members of society and university students. As the activities of KIPP, we have forum, seminar, event, and project. Let me explain about KIPP Forum briefly. In KIPP Forum, we have discussion on social issues with experts after listening to their talk. This is what we usually do. Now let me explain why we are here. We are here as part of the KIPP project, Japanese Students' Voices on 3/11. I will tell you how this project launched and the purpose of this project. As you know, the Tohoku earthquake and the tsunami occurred on March 11, 2011. The damage was enormous, and it was one of the great earthquakes yet to be recorded. By this catastrophic disaster, various social problems and issues were brought to light. As KIPP members, we felt a need for a further understanding of these issues. At the same time, we had been trying to conduct short visit programs because of the previous project, a study of the current landscape for international education as conducted by university students. In this project, we concluded that it is crucial to have short visit program in order to promote students to consider longer term periods of studying abroad. Combining those two intentions, we launched this project and came to the US. Furthermore, there are four aims for this project. First, we want to send messages of appreciation to the American people for all their concerns, displays of support, and wide variety of assistance, including Operation Tomodachi from the US military. Second, after having discussion in each area we visit in America, we want to bring back ideas of restoration and reconstruction that can be applied to each of students' communities in Japan. Third, we feel a short visit program will motivate university students in Japan to study Japan. And finally, in order to send our voice from the people of Tohoku, we would like to invite some students from Tohoku to join us to go to America together with KIPP. We hope that we can share and exchange our ideas and have productive discussions today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jossie. Thank you, Knowledge Investment Programs. And you know, what brings us together here today, as devastating as March 11th was for all of us, it has also given us new possibilities here. We, all of us, would not be here if it weren't for March 11th. And despite having so many challenges and uncertainties that Japan faces in the future, we together can have the opportunity today to exchange our views, American and Japanese, or any other nation that you're from, and to think of new possibilities of further strengthening the relationship between Japan and the United States, and how to contribute to the reconstruction of the Tohoku area. So with that in mind, I'd like to invite up the Knowledge Investment Program presenters. So please come up with your presentations.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nagiko Wada from the University of Tokyo. Speaking of the earthquake, what do you think of? Tsunami or nuclear power plant? But it tend to mention Tohoku areas, but today, I'm here to let you know that there were many problems even in Tokyo under the influence of the earthquake. at 2:46 p.m. on March 11th. Last year, I was watching a musical show in Tokyo. The stage setting and lighting started shaking with a rattle, and I thought it was a small earthquake and would end soon. But the tremor became greater, and the whole building shook like a ship at sea. Soon, I realized the situation was very serious. At the end of the day, I became one of the tens of thousands of urban commuters who got stranded because the trains had stopped. I ended up spending a fearful night at the theater. On the next day, I went home safely, but soon there arose another problem. It was a power blackout. The damage inflicted by the earthquake and tsunami on the nuclear power plant in Fukushima and other power plants necessitated scheduled power blackouts, alternatively called rolling blackouts. Because various areas were to be affected in turn. Fujisawa, Kanagawa Prefecture, where I live, was the first group of rolling blackouts. It was the hardest hit among the five groups. We had a 3-hour long power blackout during the day or in the evening, 7 times at one point twice in a day. At the beginning, I was willing to do whatever I could for the Tohoku regions. However, my sense of sacrifice became weakened as the power failure occurred repeatedly. And I felt increasingly inconvenienced and dissatisfied. There were some problems among the rolling blackout. Firstly, there was uncertainty as to whether there would really be a blackout until the scheduled time actually arrived. It was awesome to have this uncertainty affect my schedule for taking meals, taking a bath, going to the bathroom, or even going out, because the traffic lights might not be working. Secondly, some areas in and around Tokyo were affected more heavily than others. There were apparently many areas of Tokyo in which there was in fact no blackout. Instead of being rolling blackouts, they seem to be unequal blackouts. So my experience through my experience, I felt there is a deep relationship between our life and electricity. And I was surprised that the accident in Fukushima, far from Tokyo, made influence of the electric situation in Tokyo directly. Do you think this structure is okay? That's all, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Yuki Kawakami from the University of Tokyo. I was born and raised in Tokyo. It's a great honor to be here making speech in front of you. My speech is based on what I felt and thought when I visited one of the areas hit by tsunami. Well, as you can see here, this is the map of Japan. In this red circle is the Tohoku region, which the earthquake and tsunami hit. This January, I visited the grandparents of mine, who is one of our group members. We went to the house here in the map, which is named Minami Sanriku. And this is the picture of the house we visited. I'll show you the pictures I took while I'm speaking, and I'll explain it a little bit. This is around her house, around her grandparents' house. Trees hit by tsunami. This is where fishermen worked, and it was destroyed. This is around in the town. And it is still now, almost anything has changed. During my stay, I interviewed a couple of local people with different points of view. Fortunately, I had a chance to talk with my cousin and her friend. Both of them are 20 years old, the same age with me. I noticed that they thought a lot about the reconstruction of their own town through the talks. However, they told me that it is no use expressing their opinions to the local governments or adults because they can't influence them or change anything. Then I asked what they wanted the most. Their answer was comfort and ordinary life that they used to have before 3/11. I couldn't say anything. Although I was one of the people unable to come home on 3/11 and have had to save electricity after the disaster, my life has not changed much after all. Suddenly, I felt the big difference of the attitude toward 3/11 between the people in Tokyo and Tohoku. When I heard the two girls say, in Tokyo, lots of people had to go home on foot on the day. But so what, compared to the situation here in Tohoku? They have a home to return. The two girls had the coming of age ceremony where local 20-year-old people got together to celebrate their becoming adults. Only 10 people out of 100 are left in that part of the town. Others have gone to other areas. That's because their houses were washed away and they can't find jobs in their hometown anymore. I'm unable to have hope for the future. I just don't know what to do. These were the most poignant words in the conversation. I was deeply shocked to hear this from the girl who is just 20. I was really sorry for her. But all I could do at that time was just nod. I just couldn't find words to say to her. Next day, I saw Mr. Onodera, who is engaged in the reconstruction of the town. I asked for his opinion regarding how to incorporate the voice of the youth into the process of the reconstruction. He told us that he himself wanted to listen to the young people in the town, but that they wouldn't state their opinions loudly, so it's very difficult. I wondered if this was because the young people felt that the adults would not listen to them. There again, I found misunderstanding, this time inside the town, a misunderstanding between the young people and the adults. So I found two kinds of misunderstanding. One is misunderstanding between the people in Tokyo and the victims in Tohoku. The other one is the misunderstanding between the young people and adults in the town. Shouldn't they come a little closer to each other? Or can it not be helped? What do you think? Thank you for listening.
I'm Akiho Sakata, second year at Keio University, and thank you for today. It's a great honor to be here. And today I'll be talking about the youth participation in the reconstruction process. So let's begin. One year has passed since March 11, 2011, the Great East Japan earthquake, the tsunami, the nuclear disaster. People died and people are still missing. People lost their homes, people lost their loved ones, and people lost their hopes. Not only the striking area, but everything and everyone changed in Japan since March 11. However, from this devastating situation, we are moving forward, one step at a time to recovery. And the contribution and volunteer has been the main power for this. Removing debris, educating children who lost their school, giving out warm meals at shelters, and building temporary houses, and so on. People are working hard to get their ordinary life back, and one by one, the situation is becoming better. Volunteer activities have been contributing greatly, and it has become a huge part of the reconstruction process. However, the volunteer population is now diminishing. It has been in the headlines, reported on the news, and it has been a great issue. As you can see on the graph, if you look at the green part, you can see the volunteer population decreasing sharply. And this was a survey taken in Ishinomaki, one of the greatly damaged areas from the tsunami from March to November 2011. And people say many things. March 11th is being forgotten. People don't want to go volunteering. Youths are not considerate for the future of Japan. And, well, I wasn't really sure about that, and me and our group disagreed. So, we decided to take a survey and research. We worked really, really hard and asked our friends of friends in our university and around our age, and got answers from more than 1,000 people, and the results were this. Do you want to participate in volunteer activity in the devastated areas? And yes, 75% of the people answered yes. They are willing to go. So we have a queer situation here, a paradox, that people want to go, really want to go to volunteering, but not going. We wondered why and continued our research and concluded with three main reasons. First, cost. The damaged area were far away from urban areas and transportation fees will cost a lot, so this was one big burden for the students. Two, information. One year has passed and the media doesn't show the image of the devastated area as much as before, therefore the people began to think there is no need for help anymore, which is wrong. And thirdly, when you need think of, is custom, and when you need to think about the volunteering activities after March 11, was that most of the youth who went to volunteering were their first time. So volunteering is not very common in Japan. And because of that, the system was not very well prepared. And there was a situation where if you even go to the devastated area, there was no work to do. There was duplicate effort, coordination of work did not go well, and there was a lot of inefficiency because everything was too new to us. And our group member, who made this lovely PowerPoint, May, also experienced this inefficiency when she went to volunteering. And we took this serious notice for this reason number three, and thought that volunteering is not common to our daily life. Well, now we have stayed in America for 12 days, I think. And we had discussions with students at Harvard, Yale, Boston University, Tufts, and we noticed that volunteering is much more attached to their daily lives. And this is a graph showing, the people engaged in volunteering in America. And on the top it says, in 2009, 63 million Americans volunteered to help their communities, providing 8.1 billion hours of service worth an estimated dollar value of almost $169 billion. And so you guys should be proud of yourself. And so I think we can say that people in America are rightly engaged in volunteering. So there is a gap between the understanding and meaning of volunteer in Japan and in America. And we think this is a gap we need to fix. After the crisis, after March 11th, the word volunteer became very popular in Japan. But we don't want the popularity to end here, and we want it to be part of our life and part of our culture like America. So we want you to think with us and share ideas how we can make this possible, or share your story of how you got involved in volunteering. And just to give an idea, this is what we thought. We thought there was a difference in the educational system and religious community. What it means is that we found out that in some schools they give credit to students who volunteer a sufficient amount of time of volunteering, and we thought this will bring volunteers closer to students' school life and be a good introduction. And secondly, religious community, because Japan is not a really religious active country, there's no church gathering or church communities which will engage in volunteering. And we thought if we had some kind of community, it would be easier for volunteer beginners to know what to do. And this was briefly what we thought, but we are excited to hear your ideas. And this is another presentation, but since we are talking about volunteering and I have this precious opportunity to stand in front of everyone, I'd like to say thank you to all of you and all of our friends in America, as a Japanese, as a person who experienced March 11th, and as a member of KIPP. People have done so many things around the globe. There is a great appreciation among the Japanese people, not only for the US forces, but there has been support from the private sectors, or individuals, NGOs, and students. And so many goodwill has been expressed. So thank you. It will be great if you could share your stories about March 11th and tell us what you think of Japan now and how you felt knowing March 11th. So please let us hear your voice. Lastly, I believe in the power of you. This energy is something we should cherish. Our job is to create a better future. So please do not forget March 11th and let's work together. Thank you for listening, for all your support. Thank you.
I was born and I was grown up in Fukushima, and today, before my speech, I'd like to, as Sakata said, I'd like to say thank you all of us. So thanks to your long help and support and Fly for Japan, we are now reconstructing little by little. But of course there's tremendous problems as their speech, blackout in Tokyo, and tsunami reconstruction from tsunami. And now, let me talk about the reputation damage in Fukushima. Okay. First, I want to give you two questions. So, how many people have the negative image from Fukushima? Please raise your hand. Okay, two tourists. Okay, thank you. So, another question is, where does this image come from? Okay, so as you know, on March 11th, the big earthquake happened and one of the nuclear power plants exploded and radiation substance released and contaminated the air and land and mountains of Fukushima. To tell the truth, I was so worried my future and my future children, because I knew I had known about the radioactive influence on health, too, because I know that from Chernobyl or something. But however, what I mentioned today is now this situation in Fukushima is getting much better. You see these pictures? This side is 0.864 is maybe half a year or so pictures. And before my leaving from leaving, I took this picture. Radioactive substance, radioactive substance decreased as time goes by. In addition, so many people worked so hard to reduce the level of radiation in order to get back originally beautiful Fukushima. But in spite of the improved situation, still in spite of this situation, the prices of vegetable in Fukushima are still very cheap, and tourism was delivered a serious blow. Of course, there are so many facts regarding the Fukushima radiation damage, but I think information abuse through SNS must be one of them. Some false rumors and abuse comments toward Fukushima had appeared on SNS. For example, the death toll of acute leukemia in Fukushima dramatically increased, or when the celebrity got sick, it is said because of they ate a vegetable made in Fukushima. Of course, as you know, needless to say, it is groundless and false rumors, but this information shocked many people. I know there are so many different voices and opinion attitude toward radiation in Fukushima, but I think it is up to you to judge the information from it. But the information from SNS tend to be biased. Whenever I see a radical tweet saying that Fukushima is poison or nobody can live in Fukushima anymore, otherwise they die, I can't stop thinking, how dare you say that when they don't know about much Fukushima? Blindly accepting the information and spreading it without knowing about the situation distort the truth and hurt people and their community. So what can we do to improve this situation and the quality of information, especially in order to see various angles and develop reliability as an information source? I hope this disaster can be a lesson for next disaster, and it make you consider information. And then Kazuki show us the prosperity and problems of SNS.
Hello, I'm Kazuki Ikeda from Tohoku University. This is a graph showing the recent visitor trend of major SNS in Japan. The top line is a Twitter, and it got bigger and after the earthquake, especially it got large increase, something like this. 80% growth has got. It's very remarkable, and it seems that people and local governments use Twitter to get information as soon as possible and announce various types of information. That's something like what's the nuclear disaster going on and where should we the season to go to get food, something like that. Considering this fact, the Twitter was useful as a disaster, but as Ms. Ogawa said, there are much groundless and negative rumors on Twitter, and those tweets hurt innocent people. To solve this problem, we thought we need a next type of Twitter. SNS. And so this is an example of the grandest rumor. The celebrity got sick because of the radioactive Fukushima. This is the grandest. Our question is, what next type of SNS? If you create a new SNS, what kind of system would you make? Our idea is something like this. This is a talk about the future. Thank you very much.
So if I may invite the presenters to come up here and sit down. We'll have 15 minutes for all of you to ask our incredible presenters here today their views and opinions and also their research. So we have, do we have a mic? Oh, the mic is up here, if I may. And so if you have any questions after they sit down, that'd be good. Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, I have a
Sir, if you can introduce yourself briefly and your affiliation. Yes.
My name is Steve Robson. I live in Virginia, and I taught Japanese literature at Brown University for 30 years. I have a question for this one. You were living in Fujisawa, and you were in Tokyo during the actual earthquake, and you were inconvenienced by the power outage. What did you think? Were you afraid that maybe Tokyo would be affected by this? We know now that the government was considering evacuation of Tokyo at that time. Were you afraid that somehow this danger was going to come to Tokyo? What kind of information did you have about the situation in Fukushima? Were you afraid at all?
Thank you, sir. Actually, I'm afraid of Fukushima damage. We got a lot of information of Fukushima, and I and my family were at a loss to whether the information is correct or bad. So it is up to us
If you'd like to explain in Japanese, and then we can have members translate for you as well. That's another option, if that's easier for you.
東京にも影響があったということです。
So if we can keep this in English, if it's possible for everybody else that can speak Japanese. That'd be great if we can mix languages, you know, that's what we always do. But would you like me to translate, or would you have one member, would you like to translate for her when she's speaking Japanese, or I can translate, I can do whatever you so.
私は実際にその震災が起こった当日は家に帰れなかったんですが、その日、いろんなその SNSとかの情報を見ることができたんですけれども、その時に私の住んでいる江ノ島の地域では、その潮が引いたという話を聞きました。なので、もしかしたらその津波が
So she said briefly, summarizing it, she lives near Fujisawa, which is close to the ocean, the coast. And she couldn't get, she had trouble getting information. And when she looked on social media networks, there were rumors or information on these social media networks that a tsunami may be approaching the area where she was evacuating and where she was living. So she had a lot of fear at that point and a lot of uncertainty. Was that okay? Okay. Next question, please.
I have a question for Ms. Makiko. I think you talk about volunteer work is very common in Japan, and even though there's like a church community in Japan, but you didn't have many volunteer work. So I just wondering, is it because you think, like, based on your experience, is it because of like cultural, social factors? Because from my understanding, like church community or other like Christians or other like religious community, like in other countries, they do a lot of volunteer work in other countries. But I think based on your presentation, you said that this is not common in Japan. So I just wondering why do you not have like answer for this? Thanks.
Sorry, I think how I said. Oh, thank you for the question. I'm Akiko Sakata, and I said it, maybe the wrong information got to you, but I was trying to say that yes, there is church in Japan as also, and there's religious community as also, but it's not active as in Japan. Like, that's so, like, I think there was church communities volunteer for March 11th in Japan, but not as many as it will in America when, like, Hurricane Katrina happened and stuff. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Okay, next question, please. Yes.
Hi, I'm Emmy Kaminoza, and I'm a member of the Japanese American Student Alliance, the Japanese American Student Union. And this question is for Ms. Ogawa. And you were saying that the levels of radiation are getting lower, and that it's 18 vegetables in Fukushima, but then it also is juxtaposed against the information that the government is giving, where they're saying they don't even have a date of when people can go back into the exclusion zone. And other information is saying full cleanup is not happening for another 50 years, 6 years people maybe can go back to their homes. So which do you believe, which do you have more faith in? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. Well, I think there are so many opinion and thinking about towards Fukushima, and my thing, and actually, it's very important. It's very difficult, and in each person have the very each different opinion. And in my opinion, is if it is possible, I can go back. I'm not evacuator, and I'm living in Fukushima. Yeah, to tell the truth, now I'm worried about radiation influence, and now as also I can't believe the government. But at the same time, there are some ways to protect radiation in order to using a mask or escaping from vegetable, there are some vegetable is can be very trustworthy. I can eat that, but so there are ways to live in Fukushima. So I think, for example, some mothers having a very little child, which are very little kids, don't want to get back to Fukushima anymore because they are very worried about it, worried about their the children's future. But I think it is up to you. And I think it is up to you. And if somebody has idea, and this idea comes from very considering, if they consider so much and search very much, it is okay. But I think what I mentioned today is if this idea or information come from just by your side, it's a problem. But the definition of evacuate or live in Fukushima is rooted to person. So I think this idea is difficult, but my question is, my answer is I live in Fukushima because I love them.
And unfortunately, we are pressed for time. We only have 10 minutes left for questions. So I think what we'll do is we'll take 3 questions. If you can be as brief as possible with the questions, that'll be appreciated, and we can answer as many as we can after that. So yes, sir, in the back. Excuse me, if you can repeat that question in English as well for everybody else, that'd be great.
After the earthquake, when you couldn't contact your friends, what sort of emotions were there? What was your mindset around
that? Okay, thank you. And we have room for 2 more questions. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious.
If you can wait for the mic to come.
I'm just curious what your reaction is, or how you would judge the government's reaction to the tsunami in Fukushima. And I'm curious, do you think they did well? Do you feel like you trust the government? Yes, that's it.
And for the final question, yes, in the back.
Hi, I'm Yuko Shimada from Georgetown University. I have a question regarding the radiation issue one more time. So what do you feel about, or how do you feel about the Fukushima farmers and fishermen promoting Fukushima-produced products? I know there is an understanding and a certain kind of fear throughout Japan regarding those products, but are all of you panelists in full support of sending off these prompts and putting them on Japanese
Friday. Thank you very much. All excellent questions, and you have 9 minutes to answer these three very deep questions. So if I can ask the members that have not answered any questions yet to give their opinions.
I'll answer the first question with if you can't contact them with your friend, what would I do? Usually, I was able to contact with almost all of my friends, but it was because during the spring break, some of my friends went to camp on the Tohoku area, and soon we found out that some of them come back soon after the earthquake. I got a mail from the university, the friends from the university that I can't find someone. So if you have any question about them, then give the email me. And after a while, I found out that the person was found. So I was really relieved. But I think some people were missing for a while. But as for me, I could able to find my friends. So I was happy to hear that. But if I couldn't find my friends for a week or so, I was very, very worried about them and couldn't don't know what to do and be in a panic or something. I did answer you. Thank you for the question.
And for the second question?
For the second question, I'd like to answer. Thank you for the question. I think it was about the government's reaction after the March 11th. And I think the government did very well, a good job, I guess, because it was an unprecedented event, and it was we never knew it was going to happen, a natural disaster. And the government did tons and tons of press conferences. They tried their best, I think, for transparency and to give out information to the citizens, to the Japanese. And people say there's lots of information hidden from the Japanese citizens, but we don't know the truth yet, but I think I want to believe the government, and I think they try their best. And for the reaction to the nuclear disasters and stuff, there is still a lot of problems, but I hope the government will take this as a lesson and figure out for the future how to react more efficiently, and I hope this will be a lesson for Japan and for the world. And does that answer your question? Thank you.
And for the final question. Oh, come on.
Okay. Can I answer last question? What you want to ask is for George Fukushima farmers, financial support is enough, is that right?
From the point of view from the Tokyo area, I'm for the support for the Fukushima farmers or fishermen, because if you escape from the productions from Fukushima, and you can't support them anymore, and they get more and more isolated from the Japan, all of Japan, and so I do want to support them, but I know that some of people are against that and escape from the products from Fukushima, and my father is one of them, and he would tell my mom that you shouldn't buy the products from Fukushima. So I don't want you to know that some of them are poor and some others are against them.
I need her opinion. I can tell you something. I decided to buy products from Fukushima, but because I don't care about it. I believe the rule of government and trusting government, and actually I decided to buy the product. It seems very good. So I don't care about the reality the product came from, so I just buy it.
And you're a medical student as well, so makes sense. Well, thank you so much. Our time is up, unfortunately, but thank you so much, presenters. Please give them a round. So next up, we have the guest speaker panel.